Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Well, that's a sour end to the end of the 4th of July. You burnt the hot dogs, someone forgot the mustard, the pool wasn't shocked, now it's all dirty. I mean, there's just, all right. A one-run loss in Coors. It's a split. Not the worst thing in the world. It just leaves a sour taste in your mouth, right? I'm Dominic Cotroneo. Jerry Augustine is with us once again. 4-3 the final tonight. Offense is the story again. All four nights here, Augie. The pitching staff today, I mean, we'll talk about Tobias. I thought he pitched great. The offense, to only have two home runs in a four-game set, to have the big barrage on Monday night, and really be quiet the rest of the week is just a little disappointing or a little frustrating, because I think Brewers fans are frustrated because they know the offense is better than what they just put up against the Rockies, especially in that environment.
Well, I find it kind of interesting. You're going to Colorado, a place where the ball flies and you can hit some home runs. You have a four-game series. You hit two home runs, Yelich last night and Contreras with the home runs that both those guys hit. So I thought that was really a factor, not hitting the ball in a ballpark. But, you know, Colorado still wanted to give the Brewers the game. They walked six batters during the game tonight. Three of them scored, and we were able to take advantage of it. It's just that we couldn't come up with the big hit. We had guys on base, and I believe we were 2-for-10 with runners in scoring position. Just couldn't come up with that big hit. Although, we got the big two-out hits, as we usually do. So I thought it was a good ball game. I thought the difference was late in the game, Colorado didn't give us the opportunities as far as walking guys and giving us the opportunity with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, and when I look at what the Brewers really had, a lot of this was two-out rallies. A lot of this was just late-arriving offense and getting it done. Really the only inning that had like really good sustained offense, and it was that fourth inning that they scored two runs in, and even yet, you could feel they left a couple of runs out on the table, and shoot, to even have the opportunity to score runs was a gift because of the misplay at second base and what should have been an inning-ending double play off the bat of Rhys Hoskins, which leads me to my next point here. I mean, Rhys Hoskins, Willy Adames, those two guys were expected to be catalysts of this offense. We know, as Willy goes, the Brewers go. Rhys Hoskins has been slow. He has not been the same since coming back from his injured list stint with the hamstring. This goes back to May 31st now, over a month of games. He's hitting .202. He's only got two homers over this stretch. The strikeouts are alarming. The double plays and the ground balls are alarming. Is anything jumping out to you about Rhys's at-bats right now?
Well, I think he's been hitting the ball hard. I think he's had some really good at-bats. He was able to force a walk and get on base in front of Chirio so he can get so he can score the run. He's hit the ball hard at times. It just says when Rhys Hoskins is, you know, we take different hitters and we say, what makes you a better hitter? And when Rhys Hoskins was hitting the ball early in the season real well, what was he doing? Taking what he's given and hitting the ball to all fields. And I just think he's just a tick off. I think he's been swinging the bat good. I think he's rolled over a couple balls that he could have gotten to and hit the ball the other way. It's just that his timing is just off a little bit. And sometimes with veteran players or you're out for a long period of time, it takes just that little bit longer. But I think he had a couple really good at-bats in the series and was able to get on base and help the Brewers. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think he's going to be one of those guys that's going to help you. It's just that, you know, finding that comfort level, finding that place where you slow down the game and you do it continuously is going to be one that he's still going to have to work on. Look at Adames, though. Adames has been a part of this series and been a big part of it. He came into the series, 0-for-27, and really made a difference in three ball games. So it's just that tonight he had a little bit of an off night. And it looked like they were making really good pitches on him. A couple questionable strike three pitches, but those two guys are definitely two parts of this offense that need to help the other parts of the lineup, and I'm sure they will. It's just that they had a couple games where they struggled.
Yeah, I see what the offense, and I know we can easily overreact and say, oh my gosh, is this a sign, a harbinger of things to come? I do want to come to Willie's defense here for a sec and understand that he is the guy on this team. William Contreras is getting going again. Yelly has been great as of late, too. What I see with Willie, it's very simple. It's the walks. And look, home runs are cool. I get it. Doubles are cool. In both he and Reese have just kind of gotten out of their walk routines when they're seeing pitches and they're commanding the strike zone. And I know this is easy to say from the cheap seats. I'm not sitting here saying, like, oh yeah, just flip a switch and you're going to be able to walk more. But you can see production rise when Willie and Reese are drawing walks. Now, it feels like you're going up there and it's 0-2 every time you're at the plate. But we were feeling this way, and this is where I'll lead to the next segment, is Jackson Churio. We're feeling this way, like, man, in the middle of May, you're thinking like, oh man, is this kid ever going to get right? I mean, it's 0-2 every time, swing and miss, and he just continues to grow and to learn. You know it is possible for veteran players because the 20-year-old is doing it right now. He continues to be the biggest positive shining moment right now for the Brewers offense on this road trip.
Well, you look at Churio right now. Where's his success? It has all started, you know, we go back to the time he had the little issue with the outfield, and that's past. We don't talk about that too much anymore. But you look at what he's done at the plate. He's really taken into say, I am going to do what I do best. I'll hit the ball where it's pitched. And I think his strength has been, they've been making mistakes on the inside part of the plate. He drives them in the left field. But his ability to drive the ball the opposite way has been huge for him. And he's been able to swing the bat much better. And he's been able to stay back and let the ball travel a little bit and hit the ball the opposite way. I think that's had a lot to do with him. The one thing with Adames and what I've seen with Reese Hoskins is those guys, when they were swinging the bat good, really dominated that outside part of the plate. You make a mistake on the outside part of the plate or the ball up in the middle of the plate, they were hurting you. I see them pitching them tight now, getting the ball off the plate away and really going in tight, and that's where the opponents have had success with them. But not with Churio. He's sitting on that pitch on the inside. He's taking it, taking what he's given on the outside part of the plate, getting the ball back up the middle of the opposite way, and boy, it's really done. He's done a great job hitting over 400 in his last several series, and I'll tell you what, on a 10-game hitting streak for a young rookie, that's pretty nice to see when you have him in the lineup.
He continues to climb. His batting average is at 250. He drew two more walks today as well. Loved a lot from what we saw from him. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Let's talk a little bit about Tobias Myers coming up next. He pitched better than the line indicates, and we'll explain why after this on WTMJ.
Results may vary.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers fall 4-3 to the Rockies. It's a split, two games apiece in this midweek series over the 4th of July. I'm Dominic Catronio. Jerry Augustine is with us as well. Brewers Extra Innings all year long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities, all to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. So here I was, Augie, prepping for this game, and I talked about it on Brewers warm-up today. Hey, here's a guy, Tobias Myers, that might work out really well at Coors Field. He doesn't rely on swing and miss. He has fastball command. He has a good changeup. I expect to see a lot of changeups today against all these lefties in the order. He doesn't really throw the slider. Nope, forget that. Throughout the scouting report, halfway through, he got a career-high 19 swings and misses tonight. He threw a career-high 39 sliders tonight. To me, and the first two innings were weird, given there was some soft contact in there, a sacrifice bunt, a double, and then he got ahead of Michael Tolia 0-2, got it to 3-2, then it turned into a fielder's choice, and he continued with a couple of hits, and then boom, a two-run broken bat double down the right field line. It seemed like after that double by Blackman, him and Eric Haas, down 3-0, made a change. They said, you know what, forget it. Let's go to the breaking stuff. The cutter's not working. Let's see what the slider can do. And, man, out of nowhere, it was his best pitch tonight.
Yeah, before I go ahead and get into Myers, I just want to say, when you go up into Colorado, how important is Blackman to this lineup? He's like that Christian Yelich. He's like that guy that gets the game started off. He bats lead off. He's a perennial 300 type hitter. And I thought he always makes a difference, and he made a difference tonight. But I'll tell you what, the rookie Meyer, I think he fooled you a little bit. And the way he fooled you is I'm getting to like this kid more and more each time I see him pitch, making adjustments when you need to make adjustments. And that's what he did tonight. Early in the game, he was trying to go with his cutter and his curveball, and he was making some mistakes with it. He got hit, gave up a couple hits with it. But I'll tell you, when he's successful, when you see the strike zone on TV, when he pitches on that upper line with his fastball, he's got that good four-seam fastball. When he pitches up there in the strike zone, and then he throws the ball, his breaking ball, his off-speed stuff down, he's very successful. But tonight, he just couldn't get his breaking ball over. We know how the light air up in Colorado changes it. But then he found his slider, and I thought one thing he did, he was able to use the slider, and he threw a couple of sliders that were down and away, and it really had good tilt on them. And when I say tilt, usually your cutters are an east-west pitch. They don't have a lot of tilt on it. But when you and your breaking ball is a speed pitch, it's a slower pitch that goes 12 to 6. You're talking about straight down. But his cutter, he was able to throw some velocity, able to get a little bit of tilt on it, and it made him really effective tonight. And not only did he throw that slider down in the zone, he threw it up in the zone, which made him really effective. So he uses fastball up in the zone in that upper quadrant with sometimes going down. But I'll tell you what, that slider was effective because he used it not only inside and outside, but up and down, and it was very effective.
I think one of the things that Myers had lacked in his repertoire, and part of the reason why he did not have as many swings and misses as maybe some of the underlying metrics would suggest, is he didn't have anything to go to the back foot to lefties. You know, he doesn't really throw his curveball that often. The changeup's good. The slider's okay, but he generally throws it in the zone. And it sounds, you know, we see lefties swing and miss at that pitch. Like, that's the pitch that maybe you would want to do as a right-handed pitcher if you can find that pitch. But can you take us through the difficulty of who somebody like Myers, who has a very straight fastball, a very over-the-top delivery, why that might be difficult for a guy like him? He might have unlocked it a little bit tonight, throwing some really good glove-side sliders and having some confidence against lefties. I wonder if they can start unlocking that low inside swing-and-miss type pitch that he can get against left-handers.
I think it's funny, Dom, how you get to go and you learn when you're a rookie. You go to different places and you get to learn something about yourself. I think one thing, Tobias Myers, he learned something about himself tonight. We talked about how many times he threw that slider and how he threw it to back foot, or how he threw it up in his zone. He used it to all four quadrants. I think sometimes when you're a young pitcher and you go to different places and they're different, they're unique in their own, you have an opportunity to learn something. And I think Coors Field made him learn something today. He got away where his breaking ball wasn't quite where he wanted. His cutter wasn't. But when you look at a breaking ball is kind of a ground ball or a strikeout pitch, and your cutter's more of a contact pitch because it doesn't have the big tilt. He jammed guys, hit ground balls with it. But I'll tell you what he found out tonight. He could use that slider on both sides of the plate. He could use it up in the zone and down the zone, like you talk about throwing that back foot slider to left-hand hitters. I think he's going to learn something from that. And I think it's going to make him better, just like early in the season when he started out and he struggled a little bit, although tonight he was at 70% with his strike pitches. Early in the season, he didn't have that changeup, and all of a sudden he got the changeup, and it made him more successful. I think tonight he learned something about himself with that slider. So when he works in between starts now, he's got something he can add to his repertoire to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to practice. I'm going to get that slider working where I want it. And that could even make him more effective as he goes on with his next start.
I could really see him tunneling that slider really well down and inside the lefties. Now, you have to be precise when you have a fastball down and in the strike zone to a lefty. But then he can play off of that pitch like we saw he do later in those frames to right-handed hitters. He can find that command over there. Couple of other positive notes from this one from the Brewers pitching staff. Yoel Piamps got back on the horse today, and it may seem minor, and it may seem insignificant down 4-3 in the bottom of the eighth inning. But for Yoel Piamps to have a clean 1-2-3 inning, I'm not saying we're going to throw him straight back in the eighth inning here, but for him to have confidence, say, okay, you know, got some good pitch, got a swing and miss, got up to 95, like, could see what he normally looks like. His next outing is going to be a lower leverage outing, I imagine, once again, just to get him on track, because that was very important. Yoel Piamps is still very valuable to this pen.
Oh, very valuable. He's that veteran that knows how to pitch. One quick thing on Myers, though, Dom. When he throws that slider, you're talking about the back foot slider. You can always throw that on the opposite side of the plate. Let it come from the outside, and that's a good way to get good ground balls. I think that's something I want to add. It'll be interesting. Next time he starts, we'll take a look at that. But I think of Piamps tonight. What did he do different than he did the other night? He pounded with his fastball. He went strikes with his fastball, and when he threw a slide, didn't throw any breaking balls or changeup. He went hard breaking ball. And I think tonight he went out there with the idea that I'm going to keep my breaking ball down in the zone, and I'm going to pound my fastball to corners and elevate it when I have to. I thought he did a really good job of saying, I'm going to take the challenge of Coors Field, and I'm going to see if I can go out and really make that adjustment that I need to make. And like you just said, Dom, he really went out today, and he really threw the ball effectively. And now he'll probably not get in a high-leverage situation next time. But if he goes out there with that idea of, hey, I did this with my fastball, I did it with my hard breaking ball, now I use my changeup and my curveball a little bit more, and it gets effective and plus counts when I'm up on a count on the hitter, I'm going to be more effective. So he's a valuable guy to this ball club, and he's a veteran that understands it. So he's a guy that's going to make the adjustments, and I'm sure he's going to bounce right back.
I agree with all of that. I still think a bullpen that features Devin in the ninth, McGill in the eighth, Hudson in the seventh, and Piamps plug and play wherever you need him, that's a very good bullpen. Take a breather, come back with more. We'll mix in some positives and some texts here as well, 855-616-1620. Here on the 4th of July, Brewers fall 4-3 to the Rockies on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back, Brewers fall. This is a great quote just coming across the line here. I'm Dominic Catronio. Jerry Augustine's with us as well. Augie, I want your reaction to this. We'll hear from Pat Murphy a little bit later on in the program, but this is tweeted courtesy of Adam McAlvey of MLB.com. A little bit of a snippet from Murph tonight. Quote, big picture, you can say, good, we won a couple of games here. We've had trouble here. But the truth is, I'm disappointed. We could have won all four games. I love the way they compete every game, but there were a ton of opportunities tonight. That's a competitive manager, man, and he says kind of what a lot of Brewers fans, I think, are feeling right now. Yes, it's the Rockies. Yes, it's Coors. I get that. What I saw is the Brewers were the better team all four games. That's baseball. Sometimes you don't win them all, but the fact that they had a chance to win all four, and quite frankly, the manager feels they should have, that's a good standard and a good problem to have, in my opinion.
I like the way Murph put it. You know, he's happy for the guys, the good things that happen to players. And I think that's what you have to do. When you're trying to build a culture, your own personal culture with a ball club, you have to be happy and you have to be involved with these people, these players when they do good things. But at the same time, the demand is to win ball games. And he's a stickler. And he's one, if there's anybody that wants to win baseball games, I think it's Pat Murphy. And you look at his career, he's the youngest coach to 500 wins in NC2A Division I baseball. That's telling you that, you know what, the guy goes out there to win. And I think he's taken it over here, except for the good things that you do have with your ball club. But don't accept everything unless you win baseball games. And I think he's right. They had a chance to win all, but they played hard. They had some good things happen. And now they have a tough series going into L.A. he has to look forward to.
Yeah, it's not going to get any easier this week going down to Los Angeles. A couple of texts here that I've rolled in. This one from Doug. I'll take the split. Another four games down. Didn't lose any ground. And Churio could be up to 260 soon. I like it. That one from Doug and Baraboo. Another text here on the 414. Brewers are still in a great spot. We're up six at the 4th of July. And Hoskins, though, does need to get going. He's still a negative war player, according to Fangraphs. Now, on the Churio front here, and I kind of want to play a little game with you here, Augie, that Churio now at 250 for his batting average. And look, batting average is not the best stat, but his on-base percentage is 299, which suggests that, hey, he's just getting hits. He's not really walking. Got two walks tonight, which was encouraging. So my question to you now, you know, what do you think, just, I'm going to have the answer for you, what do you think just your gut reaction is, what do you think league averages this season in Major League Baseball for batting average?
Boy, that would be so tough. it's, you know, I would say the average 260.
You would hope, right? It's just, it's so hard to hit these days.
260 would be really good.
It's 242 right now. So Jackson Chourio, at 20 years old, with the abysmal April and May that he had, is now, for the entire season, an above league average hitter. Now, his OPS is still a little bit lower than league average. For the season, he's at 697. League average is 705. So that's marginal. That's a home run here or there. That's a double here or there. We're seeing that starting to go up a little bit. Another positive, another guy that I love that I want to talk about here that got on base a couple of times again, Sal Frelick. His on-base percentage is up to 346. Sal's never going to be a guy that slugs, ever. Don't think he's going to start slugging. But Sal Frelick getting going, not striking out, putting the ball in play. This is how this lineup's designed. Terang at 352. Frelick at 346. Now you got Mitchell back. You got three guys that can get on base in addition to William and Ortiz and Yelich, who's leading the team at 408. Having multiple options to get on base is how you're going to get yourself out of ruts with runners in scoring position. It's a double-edged sword. All right, you went 2-for-10 with runners in scoring position. That stinks. The other side of that sort, well, they had 10 opportunities with runners in scoring. They kept getting guys on base. I'd rather that, have a ton of opportunities and not get the job done, than have like a 1-for-3 and have one run scored. I think the Brewers are certainly on the cusp of breaking out.
Well, I agree with you 100%. They're getting guys on base, whether you see the tonight with the six walks and three of those six walks scored, three to run. So when you're looking at what, if you can get on base and you can get, you give yourself an opportunity. And I think, Dom, when we look at it, you look at all the two out hits that they've had this year. And it's, I bet you they might be one of the top in all of baseball. How do you have the opportunity to get two out hits and score runs? You do it by getting guys on base. And I think what you're seeing, it was just amazing what Terang did in the first two at-bats. What was it, 19 pitches? He just saw tonight. He's just getting better and better at that leadoff spot. And I'll tell you, Frelick, he just takes the ball and he just punches it into left field. He's getting to be very good. Give Mitchell some time. But I'll tell you what, Chourio swinging the bat like he did tonight and continue over his last number of games. These young kids are picking up and helping this ball club win. How are they doing it? Understanding that you have patience, you got to slow the game down, and you got to take what you're given. And that's really made a big difference in how this team has been playing.
Well, here's the number that you're looking for here, Augie. The Brewers have scored more runs with two outs and runners in scoring position than anybody else in baseball. They have the most.
I agree.
So
I agree with you totally.
Yeah, the eye test and the numbers certainly agree on that. Things are going to work. And tonight, it was seemed like all the rallies came with two outs. Now, Dodgers, big task, big ask. They're losing to the Diamondbacks right now, last I saw. They're playing right now. It's 5-3 Diamondbacks. The Dodgers will be happy to just not see Christian Walker, given the stretch that he's on right now for Arizona. But you're getting Glass now, you're getting Paxton, and then TBD on Sunday. The Brewers are countering with Aaron Civale making his Brewers debut tomorrow, Freddie Peralta on Saturday, Dallas Keuchel on Sunday. I think I feel going into this series, Augie, the same way as I felt heading into the Philly series. Look competitive, look like you belong, and I don't care what the final number says. They got swept in that series in Philly, I know. All three of those games, the Brewers had a chance to win. One-run games, tight contests. If you can turn in that kind of a series with a win or two in that, you're going to feel a lot better, and this is a big growth opportunity for the young crew.
I think this is going to be a really interesting series. I tell you, when you got Civale coming in, and when he's capable of doing it, it's going to be interesting how he approaches the Dodgers and how he throws the ball. And he's been struggling a little bit this year, but he's got a new outlook. Now he's in a new place. He's got the opportunity to pitch against one of the best teams in all of baseball. I think that's going to be really fun to watch when he faces the Dodgers tomorrow night. Then you got Freddie, and then you finish the series off on Sunday. But when you look at this ball club, you look at what the Dodgers are doing. They lost a series against this last weekend against the Giants. They will possibly lose a series against the Arizona Diamondbacks if they don't win tonight. Boy, going in there, now you got to look at them. They don't have Mookie Betts. They don't have Muncy. They're two guys that are so important to that ball club, especially on the offensive side of the ball. This is going to be a real interesting series, and I think with like I've said, in order to win a division, you got to have a bullpen. I think the bullpens are going to make the difference in this series. I think the starting pitching is going to keep the games close, but I think the real difference is going to be in the bullpen. And hopefully, offensively, we can get some guys on base and score a couple runs and get some big hits with runners in scoring position. I think that's going to be the difference in this series.
I mean, it's a cliche, but little things are going to win this one. Two high-quality teams that don't have much separation. This is going to be a fun one to watch. Stay up late for out at Chavez Ravine. Augie, appreciate you as always. Have a happy rest of your 4th of July. Hope you had a great day. We'll talk to you sometime next week, my friend.
Yeah, same to you, Dom. I'm looking forward to next time, but big series in L.A. I'll tell you what, it's going to be fun to watch.
This will be fun. Hope you listen to us here on WTMJ. Take a breather. Come back with more. We got some out-of-town scores to update you on right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. 4-3 loss tonight. We'll be good. 855-616-1620. If you're still hanging out with us here on WTMJ, just in the time that we were talking Diamondbacks Dodgers, they've added on two more runs at the top of the ninth, so Arizona's up 7-3. They're likely going to win that series, and shoot, they're one pitch away from sweeping that series. A Paul Sewald 0-2 pitch to Freddie Freeman down to their last strike. He hit a double to tie the game. But the Dodgers are up next. Elsewhere here in the division, how about the Cincinnati Reds? Right when you're out, they pull you back in. They sweep the Yankees in the Bronx. How about that? Wild stuff for the Reds. They went 8-4 today. Will Benson robbed a home run. Frankie Montas back in the Bronx, outdueled Marcus Stroman. So Cincinnati now vaults up to the 3 spot. They're 42-45. They still are the only other team in the division with a positive run differential, which is why I am still scared of them. They are leaving wins out on the table. St. Louis, they won today. They're now 6 games back. They're 45-41. They beat the Pirates in 10 innings today. The Pirates are the mirror of that, 41-45. The Cubs won today, 40-48 now for them, 12 games back. We are less than 4 weeks away from the trade deadline, 26 days to be exact. It is on Tuesday, July 30th. If that sounds odd, it's because Major League Baseball stepped in and said, hey, we're sick of having to hold lineups and pull guys and have hug watch. Let's just do it on a day. I believe it's 4 Eastern time. Let's do it on a day that everyone's playing night games, so we don't have to worry about guys getting pulled mid-game and that sort of thing and don't have another Wilmer Flores-type situation on their hands and Carlos Gomez and how it impacted the Brewers and everything like that. But that's still a couple weeks away. Teams are just kind of waiting to see who's going to separate, who is going to commit to being a seller, because everyone's still technically in it. And yes, the Cardinals are 6 games back. They are certainly in it in the division, but they have that third wild card spot right now. And right now, they're only a half game back of the Padres. Remember, the Padres have played 91 games already because of their Korea trip. So the Cardinals have some games in hand to catch them and try to see if they can get in that 2 wild card spot. The Mets are 2.5 games back of the last wild card spot. And then it's the Giants, 3 back. The Arizona Diamondbacks are about to be 2.5 back. And then the Reds are 3.5 back. Pittsburgh, they're not contenders, in my opinion. Washington, not contenders, in my opinion. Cubs, not contenders, in my opinion. And then you get to Colorado, Miami. I mean, the Cubs have the 3rd worst record of the National League. That's wild to me. That's just a weird sentence to say. Quick look. Run down the box score here for the Brewers. Terang, 1-for-5 with a double. Did not strike out today. How about the Brewers? 6 walks, 5 strikeouts. More walks and strikeouts. They were getting opportunities. They left 9 runners on base, which was the story today. Monasterio getting a couple of hits in the clutch, 2-run single. You'll hear that in the highlights coming up in a little bit. Eric Haas continues to play well. Thought he had a great game behind the plate. He went 1-for-3 batting. I understood the decision to go to Garrett Mitchell there in the bottom of the top of the 8th inning. You knew that Bud Black was going to counter with the lefty. I think I would have let it roll with Haas and maybe find another opportunity for Mitchell. But then you realize, well, the top of the order's on deck. I'm not getting Garrett Mitchell in there until Sal Frelick, maybe. So he would have maybe never got an opportunity. It was there or never to see if they were going to pinch hit. But it all worked out in the Rockies' favor in this one. Not the prettiest game for the crew, but it's a split. I'm not going to complain about it. It's a hard place to play. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, his thoughts about all of that in just a moment. Want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. And right now, for a limited time, Sider is offering $10 off an AC tune-up or $10 off an HVAC, plumbing, or electrical service call. At Sider, your home comfort is our top priority. Visit Sider.com today, Seider.com. Murph is up next on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
It's a split. You heard the quote from Pat Murphy. You'll hear it from him himself in just a moment as well. I'm Dominic Catronio, Brewers Extra Innings. Brewers looking to get ready for the Dodgers here, and I'm excited to see Aaron Civale. I really am. I think it's going to be a match that, remember, he's got an extra year of team control on him, and he's able to stick around, get comfortable, understand that likely he's going to be here next season as well, because I was having a conversation with this with some folks here in the studio. You look at next year's rotation: Woodruff, Freddie, Ray, and then it's like, all right, probably DL Hall, Civale now, and then it's like, all right, that's okay. You got Ashby still as depth. You've got Tobias as depth. You've got some options to choose from. So these are things that I just think about with Civale getting ready to go tomorrow. We'll be ready to react to it all late night Brewers tomorrow. But here's what the manager, Pat Murphy, had to say.
He settled in good. You know, I thought he pitched very well for a rookie pitcher and in this ballpark, and I think a couple big hits early hurt him. The walk, the leadoff walk hurt him. A couple other big hits, and you get behind, but we have plenty of chances, and made a few mistakes.
Does he like the slider? Pretty effective for him.
It was. Slider became, I think it was the best it's been, for us. And that was nice. Haas did a nice job with him. And gave us a chance. He put us in a position to win.
Did you see what the pitch that Kate hit out looked like? It was kind of like right on that corner.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet, but it looked like it was definitely belt high. Not that he doesn't pitch up in the zone, but either higher than that or lower than that. Credit to Cave, he's been swinging the bat really good. I noticed they moved him way up in the order.
What do you think of your offense, then? I mean, you guys worked to get Quantrill out of the game, but still only three runs here is probably not going to be enough.
We didn't have a lot of hard contacts. So either credit Quantrill or let's see the tape and see if we did enough, but it didn't seem like we did enough. The kid's been throwing the ball good for them and neutralized us. We had two or three hard contacts off five innings. That's, but we did run the pitch count up and,
In that sequence in the eighth, where you had the choice of Rudy and Guerin, obviously, how difficult was that call with Beeks' numbers against the lefties?
I mean, Beeks is really, really good. Kenley's really good against righties. I had to make a decision. Do I want Mitchell versus Beeks, or do I want Haas versus Kinley, who's got a strikeout in him with a slider? Now, we could run more against Kinley, but you don't want to end that threat with a, stolen base, whatever. So it really comes down to, it was my thought process was with Mitchell's speed and giving Mitchell a chance to be on our team and be in a big spot in that situation, the first hitter that kid's going to face. Hindsight's 20/20. Haas has done a great job, but you can't expect him. That Kenley leads their team in saves. You can't look at their. I could have not got him out of the game and pitched to Perkins right there, right-handed. But that's the choice I made.
It looked like he kind of dotted that corner.
Made a great pitch. But I really wanted Mitchell to have an opportunity to, in that situation. He's going to be in that situation again in life. And, he's just starting out for us this year, and I really felt good about it. And Beeks is really, really good, but his splits aren't huge. It's not It's not a huge lefty-righty split. It's, you know, whatever. It's a little bit, but it's not huge. So, yeah, I felt good about it. You know. And the fact that Mitchell has speed, so if he, you know, whatever. And we had to make a decision, that are we going to run or not going to run in that situation with two outs? And we went with it.
Overall, to come away with a series split here, four games, what'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, big picture, you can say, good, we won a couple games here, we've had trouble here. But the truth is, I'm disappointed. You know, we could have won all four games, and that would have put us in a way better position than going forward. But how'd that hurt, Mike? Did that hurt really bad?
Yes.
You don't seem like you're in big pain. I think you're exaggerating. Yeah, so, you know, to be pleased or think that, well, at least we want to. I love the way they compete every game, but, you know, there was a ton of opportunities tonight, I think, and a couple miscues defensively that cost us, but, yeah, it's tough to have the intensity every night, but we do keep it close, and, yeah, I'm just, you catch me 15 minutes after the game, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah, I think that's a manager that's super competitive and wants to win every game he shows up for. And again, the Brewers were the better team all four games. They walked away with two wins. They didn't perform to their expectations or their ability. They had a chance to win all four games. That's baseball. Some highlights, some moments that we're going to talk about coming up next with a modified highlight segment, going for another 10 minutes or so here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, a few more minutes here on the show. I'm Dominic Petronio. Brewers are down 3-0 early in this one. Tobias Myers scrapped the cutter, went to the slider. He threw more sliders and four-seamers than he did tonight. He was great. Career-high 19 swings and misses tonight against the Rockies in a tough environment to pitch in. But the Brewers' offense was quiet until a leadoff walk in the fourth to Yelly. Then a one-out walk to Frelick put runners on first and second. Hoskins got a ground ball straight to the second baseman, and Rogers bobbled it. Would have been an inning-ending double play. Instead, they take the gift. Hoskins was retired, had runners on second and third, then another walk to Churio. That was one of his most mature at-bats I've seen from him. That loaded the bases for a guy suddenly getting a lot of playing time, Andrew Monasterio.
1-1. Swinging a line drive, poked in back of second base and falling fast and in for a base hit. Two runs will score, and over to third base goes Churio. Throw comes through to the plate for some strange reason, and the hitter, Monasterio, takes second. It's a two-run single. Monasterio comes through. It's a 3-2 game in the fourth.
So that was big for Mona. He's got two hits in this one, 2-for-4 at the plate. He kept the rally alive in the eighth inning, putting Churio to third base. Now, the game was still 3-2 in the sixth inning with Tobias Myers really rolling along. A one-out walk to Rhys Hoskins, exactly what we were talking about. A nine-pitch battle which he draws a walk. You hope that's something that can get him back on track, something he can draw upon. He was down 0-2 in that count, mind you, and the Brewers made him pay. Jackson Churio, the next batter. Man, I just can't stop raving about this.
Brings home the pitch. High drive out to right center field. Hilliard racing back, still back. It is off the top of the wall in right center. Hoskins chugging around third. Hoskins is going to slide in there in front of the throw. And the Brewers have tied it up at three on an RBI double from Jackson Churio.
Great stuff from Lane Grindle on the call. I mean, Rhys knew he was going to have to try and score. That ball barely didn't get out as well. 425 feet, dead center field. Coors giveth and Coors taketh away. And another example of it taketh away. The Brewers were not able to add on anymore. Monasterio would ground out. Haas would get an infield hit, but then Terang would ground out to end the inning with runners on the corners. And no shutdown inning in the bottom half of the frame. A home run to dead center field by Jake Cave. So no quality start for Tobias Myers, even though he pitched fantastic today. He went six innings. He allowed eight hits, which it's Coors. What are you going to do? He only walked one batter, and he struck out five. And again, those 19 swings and misses. I thought he was fantastic today, and I know it's a loss next to his name in the column. I really believe he pitched better than what the line score indicates for Tobias. We'll preview the upcoming week and get ready to say goodnight. Late night Brewers on the 4th of July. They fall 4-3 on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, welcome back. Final segment here, a few more minutes. Some big news for the pitching front for the Brewers today. One actually pitched, one was scheduled. D.L. Hall down in Nashville. He was scheduled to go longer than he did, but a rain delay chased him early. He went three innings, allowed three hits, three runs, zero of them earned, three walks, and two strikeouts. I went back and looked at the inning that caused the unearned runs. An error that should have been a double play ball, and then a couple of bloop singles. It really wasn't as bad as the line looks. Now, the three walks are something to monitor. He topped out at 95 miles an hour. The four-seam fastball, still his bread and butter. He only got two whiffs on that pitch. Changeup was okay. I look at the total. He pulling up his numbers now as we speak, but he touched 95 multiple times. And if he's going to stick 94, 95, you can learn to deal with that. We aren't seeing the 95, 96, even 97 a little bit we saw in spring training. The other thing I look at is he getting carry? Is he getting ride? He hasn't really been getting that popping back up in his direction. So I wonder how the Brewers plan to implement him. He has been stretched moderately to be like a swing man and see what he can do maybe in that tweener phase with Junis, with Wilson, who, by the way, Bryce Wilson has been moved to the bullpen with Aaron Civale joining the team tomorrow. I imagine the move would just be optioning Jansen Junk down to AAA Nashville to activate Civale. They've already made the corresponding 40-man move, which was last week. It was the move for the 60-day, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pulling it up right now. There's a lot of things happening in my brain. It's the end of the day. Worked a lot today. When they acquired Aaron Civale, it was, yes, DFAing Taylor Clark. I just wanted to make sure I got it right there. And Civale gets the ball tomorrow. Another guy that has been scheduled today, Saturday, Joe Ross will make a rehab outing up in Appleton against with the Timber Rattlers. I imagine that will be two, maybe three innings for him as he works his way back. The Brewers have made it clear they're not expecting him until after the All-Star break as he continues to build back up. So when you look ahead here for the pitching staff, and when you look ahead trying to figure out what's ahead for the crew. So if you got Civale going tomorrow, Freddie on Saturday with an extra day of rest. He last pitched on Sunday against the Cubs. And then you got Dallas Keuchel on Sunday. He last pitched on Tuesday. So he's going on that 5-day, that 5th-day traditional rotation because that was the spot held by Bryce Wilson. You have an off day on Monday. Then you're looking at likely Colin Ray on Tuesday, Tobias Myers on Wednesday, Aaron Civale on Thursday, Freddy Peralta next Friday, and then a decision to be made. Do you keep Dallas Keuchel another turn through the rotation? Do you bring up D.L. Hall? Do you start a bullpen day? Or do you start Keuchel for one more time, have a bullpen day on Sunday the 14th, get yourself to the All-Star break, and rearrange your rotation there? Quite frankly, the Brewers, for the first time in a while, they're not going to probably have an all-star starting pitcher. So they can kind of set everything up exactly how they want to for the rest of the first half. And one of the fun things about setting up rotations and setting up what you can do, you literally have this whole calendar mapped out of like, if everything goes according to plan, this will happen. And then you obviously adjust from there. So I would imagine they would have Freddy Peralta take the ball maybe on that Sunday, to have him throw technically in back-to-back games. So he would throw Sunday the 14th to close the first half, and then maybe he could throw the 20th to open the first half against the Twins and maximize what his availability will be, because then they go two against the Twins, back on the road last time against the Cubs to end the regular season series with them. And then you come back home after an off day hosting the Marlins and hosting the Braves. And then, boom, we're already done with July. And you blink, and it's already over with. So that's just a quick look ahead at what the pitching is faced with here for the Brewers in these final week and a half before the All-Star break. Everything has gone final now in Major League Baseball. The Dodgers did fall to the Diamondbacks 9-3. So both the Brewers and Dodgers within a game of each other. 53-35 are the Dodgers. 52-36 are the Brewers. If the Brewers win the series, they will be tied in their record, but the Brewers will have the slight edge in the season series. The Dodgers come to town for a midweek set here in August. That is a four-game series in the mid-August, August 12th through August 15th, and obviously after the deadline, see how things look in the rest of the league. Other games that matter to the Brewers, we already mentioned the Central. How about the next opponent after the break, the Pirates? Thereafter that, the Nationals are in a little bit of a tailspin right now. The Nationals did survive against the Mets. The Mets have fallen apart all of a sudden. The Nats win 1-0. The only RBI in that game, of course, a Jesse Winker solo home run in the eighth inning. In fact, the Mets only had one hit in this game. It was a Jeff McNeil single, and that's all they got in this one. 1-0. It was a morning game out in our nation's capital. So that's what's ahead here for the Brew Crew. Exhale. It's just a split. It's no big deal. We got some late nights ahead. 9:10 first pitch tomorrow, Central Time. I've got you covered after the game and all weekend long against the Dodgers. Hope you tune in for some Brewers Extra Innings. If not, Brewers All Access is the podcast feed. My thanks to Matt Yazel spending his 4th with us. I'm Dom Catronio. See you tomorrow. Happy 4th of July. Keep on swinging.